We start at the base of the mountain. People from stories throughout Scripture have started at that place, looking up at what was before them, not knowing where the journey would take them. People throughout Scripture. Scripture is full of it. You look in your bulletin today, and I kind of jokingly put Genesis 1 through Revelation 7. We're going to read the whole Bible today, y'all. Because I can't point to one place where this idea is present and illuminated. It's all throughout Scripture. It's every story of every person of faith along the path from Genesis to Revelation. People who set out on a journey from the base of a mountain. People like Adam and Eve who are formed from the dust of the earth into human beings and brought to life with the very spirit and breath of God. And they look out upon the earth for the first time. The entire mountain of human experience right before them, ready to climb. People like Abraham and Sarah who faced a mountain of infertility, right? In spite of being promised by God that the world would be blessed through them, promised that they would have offspring more numerous than the stars in the sky, and yet they hadn't had a child yet and faced the mountain of desiring and hoping for a child that would fulfill the promise of God. People climbed mountains. People like Moses, whom God called through a burning bush, who faced this mountain of his own feelings of inadequacy and uncertainty and unworthiness. I can't do this. Find someone else, God. People who faced mountains. People like David, who faced a literal mountain of a man in Goliath, right? A mountain of violence in a people that were called the Philistines. Oh, David. He had lots of mountains to climb in his life. He also faced the mountain of his own desire, right? For Bathsheba. And the mountain of shame and regret that would follow that story. Yes, people all throughout Scripture had mountains that they had to climb. Prophets like Hosea, whose own life and own family would be a metaphor for God's relationship with all Israel. Prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Micah, who faced the mountains of holding kings and governments to account for their corruption and neglect. And the communities of people in those nations who had forsaken their covenant with God, a mountain those prophets had to climb to bring people back to God. People climbed mountains. People like Job, who faced the highest mountain of loss that any of us can probably imagine. He lost his home, his family, all of his earthly possessions, his entire community, his entire way of life was ripped from him. And he had that mountain to climb, a mountain of putting the pieces back together, a mountain of grief and loss and struggle. Sitting on an ash heap, he asked a question to God. Why? How long? And there's a mountain of questions that fill his body, and he's not going to stop throughout 40-some chapters until he meets God face to face and gets those answers. An incredible mountain to climb. We read stories about people who face mountains in both the Hebrew Scriptures of the Old Testament and the stories of Jesus and His disciples in the early church that we find in the New Testament. People like Mary, right, who faced the mountain of becoming pregnant without a husband. An offense that in that society could have put her to death. It would have brought shame upon her entire family, ostracized them from their community. But also, that young woman faced the mountain of giving birth to the very Son of God and being a mother to the divine presence in that child. Lots of people climbed mountains in Scripture. People like the disciples who are called from their boats and from fields, right? To put down your nets and leave everything and just follow Jesus right then, right there. Don't think about it another second. Throw it down and come. And they face the mountain of that incredible decision that they knew, if I make it this way, it means one thing, or if I make this one, it means another thing. And the entire rest of my life will change depending on which decision I make. Things will never be the same. And they faced the mountain of that decision. People like Paul, who faced this monumental task of spreading the gospel of Jesus across the land to Gentiles, to folks whom the Jews, many of them, believed shouldn't get the word of Jesus, that couldn't be part of the Jesus movement. But Paul faced the mountain of climbing it and spreading that word to all the world. People climb mountains. People like John of Patmos, who writes this book that we read today and comes across a little scary, right? Revelation. It has all these amazing symbols and images. But John of Patmos, called by God to write a message of hope in the midst of an evil empire around him that would surely kill him if he spoke the truth about it. And so what he did as he faced that mountain was find a way to inspire that message and infuse it with these incredible symbols and images which the empire wouldn't understand, but which the people of God would know clearly what he was talking about. A monumental task, to say the least. And of course, there's Jesus, who faces the greatest mountain, a mountain that we call Calvary, right? To be sure. But also a mountain of ministry, a ministry for which he had been born, for which God had sent him to the world. Churches across our globe today are reading a story of Jesus this morning that describes him towards the very beginning of his ministry when he stands in the temple, he comes forward and he opens a scroll of Isaiah, and he reads these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolls the scroll up, gives it back to the attendant, and sits down, the eyes of everyone on him, and he says, "This has been fulfilled in your hearing today." By reading that scroll from Isaiah, Jesus shows us that he knows what the mountain before him looks like. He knows his calling. He knows his purpose. He knows that he is there to usher in a time of healing and hope and release from all of the evils of the world. And can you imagine that task, that mountain before that man? How monumental, how incredible that mountain was. And sitting at the base of it that day in the synagogue and seeing the incredible task that lay before him, bringing good news to poor, releasing those who were bound and held captive by the forces of the world, healing the sick and the blind and the lame, bringing freedom in all of its forms from everything that would oppress people. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty paralyzed if I thought that that's what God had sent me to earth for and called me to. I'd be paralyzed to even take a step. Me? Kind of like Moses in the burning bush? You sure you don't have the wrong guy? How can one person do all that? All that seemingly impossible stuff that nations and leaders around our world can't even find a way to do. But Jesus doesn't appear paralyzed at all. He does what every good mountain climber does, who can see the mountain before himself or herself and has no idea which way to go up it. He takes a step forward. And in the words of Spanish poet Antonio Machado, quoted by Paulo Freire and civil rights leader Miles Horton, and more recently used as the title of a wonderful book by Christian pastor and writer Brian McLaren: "Wanderer, your footsteps are the road and nothing more. Wanderer, there is no road up that mountain. The road is made by walking." Jesus knew that we make the path up the mountain by putting one foot in front of the other, by trusting in God to carry us when we don't know the next step. And so he takes a step forward, committing to the mountain climb that's before him, accepting the task of his ministry through those words that he proclaimed after he sat down, and proclaiming that this journey was so certain that the outcome was already given. And so today, as you hear these words, it is fulfilled. He named it and he claimed it. He took that step of faith. And what a first step up that great mountain of his ministry that ends on the place on another mountain that we call Calvary. Brothers and sisters, we all have different mountains to climb in our life, just like every one of these prophets and teachers and sages and characters from the book of the holy text that we call the Bible. On the mountain, at the base of the mountain, the journey is before us. The climb, the path that we make by putting a foot in front of another and walking one step at a time. And with each step, getting, as Lee's saying, caught up in the presence of God in our lives as we journey step by step up the hill, being carried, as Priscilla said, sometimes when you can't see the way and you don't know which way to go, being carried by our Creator, our Lord and Savior, the one who promises to be with us until we get to the top of whatever mountain is before us. Brothers and sisters, I pray that it may be so with each of us, no matter what the mountain is. I pray that we'll have the courage, the strength, the fortitude to take a step, knowing that one step leads to another and to another and to another, that God is with us, holding our hands, carrying us, and that the path will get made with each step, whether it's ours or God's. Amen.